Podcast.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the broadcast with Amanda, Shandy, and Colleen. My name is Colleen.
My name is Amanda.
And I'm Shandy.
Welcome to the show, everybody. This is season 6, episode 34, episode number 259. How's it going?
Good. Very good.
Excellent.
Delightful.
Delightful. It is delightful. It is the Ides of March. Is it, right? Was that today?
Yesterday? It is the Ides of March.
Yes, it is. Yesterday was Pi Day.
Yeah. That one's way more exciting. I wish I had remembered that. That was a missed opportunity.
That's okay.
I will always, like, no Pi Day can be as good as that day that I went to a Pi Day party in San Francisco without realizing, and I just thought it was a Pi party until the end of the night when it was like, today's Pi Day. It was the best. Nothing will ever live up to that.
Yeah.
The unsung Pi Day.
Pie is really the best pie.
Table full of pies. Like a double table.
Oh my goodness. What a week. It's like pies, Ides, and leprechauns.
Right?
Yeah.
It's a full roster of events.
A full roster. happy birthday to David Gott.
Happy birthday.
Wait, that's on the 17th, right?
That is on the 17th, yes.
Nice. Well, I guess happy birthday yesterday when he's listening to this.
Yes. If he is listening to this. Otherwise, happy birthday last month.
Yeah, right.
We were here for you. Where were you? Oh, my God. Okay, so quick announcements. Speaking of St. Patrick's Day, yesterday, last night, we all got together and watched The Hump Thing. Did you guys get your tickets yet? I got to get my tickets.
No.
Wait, yesterday we got?
That was a bearing this.
I thought we were doing it this Thursday.
Yes.
Oh, wait, we're doing it this week? I thought it was next week.
No.
Okay, this week. Got it.
Right? Aren't we doing it this week?
I bought tickets for March 17th. Well, for the weekend of March 17th.
Okay, that's what I thought. Because Amanda, you said you had no plans for St. Patrick's Day, and this would be good plans.
I think there was someone, like, embodying my body last week, because I feel like there's a lot of things... Like, not just here, but, like, just across the board, I feel like there's a lot of things that people said I said last week that I don't remember saying.
Fair.
Or, like, text messages that I've gone back and looked through, and, like, I answered these, like, random responses that, like, had nothing to do with, like, what someone actually asked me or said or did. And basically, guys, I think I'm losing my goddamn mind is what I'm saying.
You have mom brain. It's a thing. It's real. It happens.
Okay. Or there's something terribly wrong.
So, question. Are we still doing it the 17th?
Well, that's when I have tickets, so that's when I'm doing it.
Okay.
I don't have tickets, but yeah, I can.
And as we discussed in the chat, like, you get the tickets, they release at 7 p.m. Pacific on Thursday. So that was the whole thing, because that's very late on the East Coast. But it should last about an hour and a half. And the good news is you have until that Sunday to finish. So, even if we're not, like, watching it simultaneously, we can still all podcast about it next Tuesday.
True. No, but we will be, yesterday we watched this thing and we slacked it. It was great. We hump slacked. It was great.
Okay, I see what you're doing there.
You know.
We're time traveling.
Traveling. Yeah. However, next year we should figure out how to just do it live and maybe do like a bonus episode. Not this year though. Honestly, I gotta travel. I can't figure out all that.
No, that's fair. That's fair. But that is a very good idea. Someone write it down. Someone remember. Clearly, I have proven that I can't be that person.
Mandy.
Yeah. Put in your phone. Remind us the beginning of next year. Thank you.
There we go. Okay, so we'll talk about Hump next week. Next week, we're also going to talk about... Oh, yes! So we've had... Okay, I'm skipping ahead in the metaphysical outline. But Turning Red. So it's that big Disney movie that everybody's up in arms about because it talks about periods. Oh my God, women...
Okay, dude, I was going to jokingly, like, I was going to make a joke about, because I haven't heard of this until everyone was talking about it in the Facebook group today. And I was going to make a joke like that it was about periods, and it actually is.
Yeah, wonderful. So I have not watched it yet. We know how we do movie night every Friday? Mm-hmm. So we were going to do it last week, but it was my grandpa's birthday, so we decided to go out to an Italian restaurant that we generally go to for my grandma's birthday and celebrate his birthday just in honor of him, because I was feeling sentimental, as I always do on my grandpa's birthday. And we ended up getting home at like 8 o'clock, so it was too late for movie night, and we ended up missing it. So we figured we would just – we didn't know – so – we did not know on Friday that there was a giant conservative anti young women movement, which I guess we should have, but we didn't know that's what the movie was about. We thought it was just about this like adorable girl that turns into like a big red panda or whatever she turns into. So we thought it was just a Disney movie. And then we went to Jay's parents' house for dinner, a family dinner on Saturday, which is why we weren't planning on just like pushing movie night back. And Jay's sister Kayla brought up how, like, it was this whole big thing. And we were like, oh, really? And that's how, you know, we were like, oh, okay. And we're definitely watching it on Friday. You know, it's...
Well, now I have to watch it,
it's
too.
It's a coming-of-age story.
I feel like, again, I'm being punked. I have not heard one stitch of this.
Me neither.
Go on it your was... local New York mom's... Facebook page or whatever you're in, next door, whatever it is. Just type in, you know, turning red family protest or something, and you will see the dumbest of the dumbest. Like, people are up in arms that how dare they have such inappropriate topics. Oh, my goodness.
You also forget, I live in the very liberal bastion of Brooklyn, New York.
You do, but there's always
the
crazies.
We're a little north of, like, old school, like, conservative Brooklyn. It does exist, but we don't live in that part. So I don't know if our community Facebook group has that kind of gossip on it.
Regardless, just do a Google search. The conservative, it's a very big, it's apparently like a big deal about how inappropriate it is, because she draws a picture of the boy she has a crush on. Spoiler alert, I haven't seen it yet. This is only what I've read, because I read through some comments today, and they are upset. Well, it's not so much the periods, it's more that she draws a picture of the boy she has a crush on, and she draws muscles, so it's sexualized. And, you know, all the other moms are like, yeah, and 7-year-olds are going to see this and not sexualize it at all. They're just going to see a picture of a drawing of a boy. Like, they're not gonna.
If they want to talk about sexualizing young people, we can talk about sexualizing young girls. Like, come on.
Right. I would wager a guess that every single person on that, you know, teen mom beauty pageant show, what was that shit that, what's her name was on? The little cute girl, Honey Boo Boo.
Honey Boo Boo.
Right? Ooh, that was like pageant moms or something?
Yeah, that sounds
toddlers right. And tiaras.
Yeah, oh, whatever.
Right? Is that it?
I would rationally guess that 100% of the people on those TV shows all are Republicans. So maybe shut the fuck up about sexualizing things.
Also, like, I'm not buying it that it's not so much that she has a period. It's 100% that she has a period. I haven't seen it yet, but that's
Let's hold our judgments off. And we'll come back to this. I promise we're going to come back to this. However, we're 100% watching it on Friday. And I'm going to talk about it next week. So I hope that Shandy, Amanda, one or both of you can join me to talk about it. Because I'm 100% watching it. You know, we watch movies. We're lazy. That's what we do.
That sounds great. I just need to figure out where to watch it, because it's probably on Disney Plus.
It is Disney Plus.
I just Googled it because I was like, I still don't know what this is.
You can just go see it in the theaters.
Oh, there's a novel idea.
That is a novel idea.
Oh my God. And you live that buttered popcorn life, and I'm going to be so jealous. I might actually, while we're talking, I might actually just reserve us a little ticket to go see it on Friday night instead of at home. No, we need to see it at home.
Oh, well, that does sound kind of
we boring. Have a 6 o'clock flight to go to New York the next morning, so.
No, don't go out.
Yeah, I know.
Watch
we can't.
Movie at home from your jammies.
We can't. Yes. I know.
From your jammies, in your jammies.
I like from your jammies.
You don't sit in your. Oh, God, guys.
I like it.
Oh, dear.
Prepositions. are yeah. always hard.
Yeah. Especially also apparently when you've lost your brain somewhere. I don't know where it is. If you guys have found it, please let me know. I miss it.
Oh, I'll be on the lookout, but I'm sure, you'll find it.
Like whistle for it.
your brain. So I do every night to call Gabby back in.
Oh. I can't help it. I'm still looking. This is so terrible. I was like, popcorn, that's a good idea.
You drive by a movie theater on the way home. I suppose you could just buy movie theater popcorn and take it home with you to watch the movie at home.
Amanda may have just... See, your brain is bad. Your brain's there. Let the record state that Colleen is wide-mouthed. What do you call that? Her jaw has dropped. Aghast, yes.
I should call them and see if I could do that.
Why can't you?
I'm sure you could. Like, are they going to say no to selling more popcorn at outrageous prices? Walk
back out with the popcorn, like, they're not like, sorry, ma'am. Sorry, ma'am, you cannot leave with that popcorn.
Fuck you and your popcorn fetish.
I mean, I feel like sometimes you do have to buy the ticket in order to get into the building, but maybe you can tell them, like, hey, I just want to buy a popcorn. And they could escort you.
Oh, my God. Okay, okay. Woo! Okay. Yes. Great, great, great idea. I think I might do that. Anyway, so, yes. Turning Red. Going to see that. I hope that everybody else will.
Yeah, I'm into it. Ooh, what's her face from, well, Sandra Oh is in it.
Oh!
And what's her face from Never Have I Ever is also, voiced one of the characters.
Oh, I love this! Yeah. Well, I my understanding is the director is Asian American, so it has a very like Asian American vibe to it because it's like pandas and I think oh
I'm yeah totally well red wrong. Red pandas are predominantly found in Asia, and looking at the cast list, it looks predominantly actors of Asian descent.
Well, there you go.
Exciting. Anything with Sandra Oh, sign me up.
Yeah, she can do no wrong in my eyes.
That's true. I need to finish Killing Eve. I'll get there.
Oh, and I forget her character's name, but in Orange is the New Black, the one Asian actress.
Yes, she is fucking adorable.
Yep, I know she's exactly in it.
Oh my God, this is a star-studded cast.
Yeah. Phineas, is that like of Billie Eilish fame?
You said Billie Eilish and I went blank. I know who she is. She's the one that like, wow, I'm sick.
Yeah. The dark hair with the green.
My songs. Yeah, her.
The musical act that makes me realize I've become old because I just don't get her.
I don't get it either, which is why I was just making fun of her. And I feel okay about that.
Yeah, I'm fine. Me and pop music, we had a good run.
We did. We had a great run. Hey, look, I still love Taylor Swift. That's like still, she's still a thing, right?
I think she'll always be a thing.
Yeah.
There you go. Anyway, okay, I don't remember what we're talking about, but yes.
Turning Red.
Looks Turning like Red. We're going to talk about it next week.
In our My So-Called Life viewing to try and view this so we can talk about it next week.
Actually, you know what? This is actually billed as a coming-of-age Disney story, and My So-Called Life is...
It's also a coming-of-age...
Is it? There you go.
Which is on ABC, which is now owned by Disney. So really, they're kind of the same thing.
It is. It really is. Like, Claire Danes has red hair. The little girl in the story has red hair and I think turns into a red panda there. Spoiler alert. If you've seen the trailer, it's not a spoiler. So I'm just saying, I like this journey.
Mm-hmm.
I like this journey. Exactly. So, okay.
There's a song in My So-Called Life called Red.
There you go.
Oh, right.
Pretty decent song.
It is a pretty decent song.
Yeah. Speaking of My So-Called Life, April 5th. So we're having a new we will be recording again next week, March 22nd, and then we will not be recording on March 29th because I will be on an airplane at that time. So we will be back then to record on April 5th, and we will be recording about the first, the only season, the complete series,
the full series
of My So-Called Life.
Very excited.
I gotta get going, man. I've only made it through the pilot in my rewatch.
18 more episodes. I gotta get going.
I haven't watched it at all. I haven't watched it at all, and that's because I want to wait till we get closer so I can remember it, because it's my first time viewing. While we're on the subject of TV shows, I finally finished Search Party.
Nice.
That show is, guys, okay. The first season is awesome. It's so fun. Can't stop watching it. It's a dark comedy. Like, it's creepy as fuck, but it's a dark comedy. Second season, less comedy, still dark, still engaging. Third season, more dark, less comedy, still engaging. Second season still has comedy, though. Still, second season still has, like, 60% of the comedy as the first season. I would say the third season has, like, maybe go down to, like, 40%. Fourth season, and I think this is probably universal criticism, is really fucking dark. The fourth season is dark. It kind of broke Jay. He was, like, he had nightmares, bad dreams. He was, like, I think might be out, like.
Okay, so not a show for me. I was literally going to be, like, so can that be, like, my next, like, half-hour show? So I'm going to just say no?
Season five, I think they heard the criticism of season four. They took the dark and they made it. I think the writer's room was like, well, we've dug ourselves this hole. How can we make this, you know? Because by the end of season four, I will say the last two or three episodes, and it's like a 8-10 episode season.
Okay.
It gets more ridiculous. Like, it gets more ridiculous the last two or three episodes of the season, of the fourth season. And the beginning ones, though, are pretty dark. Where they kind of were like, maybe there was, like, you know, backlash, and they were like, oh, maybe we should, like, you know, get back to how we were. Season five, really, like, they just take the dark shit that they went with, and they make it as ridiculous as you possibly can. So ridiculous that you have to laugh. And by the end, it ends in the most fucked up, ridiculous way, and I laughed and loved the last two episodes so much. I was like, oh my god, like, they committed fully, and I can't with, like, I loved it so much. Like, I approve of this. If you asked me in season one how I wanted this show to end, I would have never gotten here, but here we are, and I love the fuck out of it. So I agree with who the people, and I don't know who, because I only finished it today, so I haven't read any reviews, but, like, I'm guessing the people on the Twitter that said season five was really good after a dark season, which is what inspired me to watch it. I agree with all of them. So, yes, but it is a mindfuck. But it's also, like, just, again, just go in there and, like, you know, brain dead yourself and just laugh and watch it. And you'll be like, oh, my God, this is great. And then in honor of that, which I finished this on my own, but we started watching Upload, which is a new Greg Daniels TV show. It has second season just dropped. So it stars Robbie Amell, who is Stephen Amell from Arrow's first cousin. Robbie Amell was he was on The Flash. I'm blanking on his name now, but I watched The Flash.
So these are all things, shows.
Yes, he's a very attractive man. Anyway, so essentially the premise of Upload, it's by Greg Daniels, who created The Office, I think, and Parks and Rec and whatnot. I don't know.
Oh, that's why the name sounded familiar. Yeah. I was, like, trying to figure out why I knew the name, and it just wasn't coming to me.
Yeah, he's one of those people that did, like, things. So, the premise of the show is that we're in the future, and when you die, you can upload your consciousness to...
This is the Adam Scott thing. It's Adam Scott's the main character?
No, Robbie Amell's the main character.
Oh, no. What am I thinking of? It's a very similar concept. Can't think of it, so forget it.
Well, I'm going to look anyway.
Yeah, it sounds, but probably darker, maybe? I only know this because in a work meeting, we watched the show open of the show because...
Well, there's a guy in it in the first episode that looks like Adam Scott, but it's not Adam Scott.
No, this is definitely Adam Scott. Something completely different. It's definitely an Adam Scott show, and it's like an office thing, and you can it's like something kind of sci-fi where you can like separate your so like what you do at work is like one part of your life, and then you leave work and you like completely like your mind erases.
Is it called Severance?
Maybe that's it, Severance. We can cut out. Look, I gave you another bonus. Look at this bonus I'm doing for you.
I'm just wondering.
Actually, what you're describing, this sounds like Severance. Psychological thriller.
It probably is. That sounds familiar. I knew it was something with an S, but I couldn't think of like the word.
But what would be the point? Like, why would somebody want to do that?
Okay, so
I think it's kind of the same thing as like, you know, like an Eternal Sunshine. Oh. Like that idea of like, you know, like you don't want your memories, so you get rid of them. Like you don't want to remember what you did at work, so you get rid of it. Like you just completely like
you hate your job that much that you need to.
This is what it is. He's an employee of Luman Industries who agrees to a severance program in which his non-work memories are separated from his work memories. It's an Apple TV series that premiered February 18th, 2022.
And I really just know it has a very cool graphic open.
Well, that's cool. Because
we watched it at work and sort of talk about, like, you know, every now and again when we have, like, team meetings, like, someone will bring something that they saw that was cool and we can kind of, like, dissect it and, like, talk about, like, its creative bones.
Did you like the first episode you saw?
I didn't know. We literally just watched the show open. Couldn't tell you a damn thing about the show other than it has Adam Scott in it. And it sounded vaguely familiar, similar, or not at all similar to what you were talking about.
It also has John Turturro, Christopher Walken, and Patricia Arquette. So I guess I'll watch it.
Yeah. Like it has all the trappings of being very good. I just don't know anything else about it.
Okay. It was directed
the baby
by.
Woke up, so the crying was distracting me.
Directed by Ben Stiller.
Oh, didn't even know that.
So, anyway, so up, I'm going to check that one out when we're done with this. But Upload, it's a story of, eventually we're in the future, and you can upload your consciousness into, a computer program after you die, when you're about to die. Like, if you have to do it when you're about to die. So, like, that always runs the risk of, like, am I going to die? Am I not going to die? Like, I got to decide right now, because if I die, I'm too late. It's really good. We watched the first four episodes yesterday. Really enjoyed it. It's a dark comedy, but unlike the dark comedy of Search Party, this actually has more comedy than dark. So, if anybody else is watching, I'm interested in hearing what you thought. But the second season just came out, and we're hoping to, you know, get through it over the next week or so.
Nice.
Yeah.
I finally just finished. I'm all caught up on What We Do in the Shadows.
Oh, you beat me! I still have a half a season to go.
Yeah. Well, I also started it before y'all, so the fact that it took me not really something I should like pat myself on the back for. But yeah, I'm so curious to see like where the next season is going.
Yes.
Because it almost felt like they were kind of not sure they were gonna get another season the way they were kind of wrapping the season down. And then, like, the last episode, clearly they knew at that point. Yeah, and everything, like, webs back up in that, like, wonderful, like, season-ending cliffhanger.
Yeah.
Yep. Very satisfying. Still want to go watch the movie, but I'm very, very excited for the next season and to, like, watch it in real time.
So good.
Yeah, so good.
Okay.
So,
and also, when the Super Bowl came around, what, like, a month ago, that was a great moment. I was like, oh, yeah, that show's really fucking funny. Happy Superb Owl, everyone.
Superb Owl.
Okay, I'm going to have to finish this now. I feel left out. I'm almost done. I've got like five episodes left. I just kind of stopped. Okay, so for next week, we're going to watch Turning Red if we can. I'm going to try to catch up on What We Do in the Shadows. One last thing before we move on. I guess two last things is... you know what I watched? I watched the, on HBO Max, the Zoe Kravitz movie. Kimmy? Steven Soderbergh?
No, can't say I'm even familiar.
So it's a Steven Soderbergh movie, and it was directed by the guy that wrote, it was directed by Soderbergh, written by the guy that wrote, Home Alone and Spider-Man and death becomes her and, like, a whole bunch of shit. Yeah, I wrote about it on my blog because I'm trying to write more on the blog and less talking on here for editing purposes. Yeah, it's good. Check it out. Next. It's 90 minutes. It's not flawless. If you want to hear what I have to say, callrights.com. But it's good. It's a good. I recommend it. And then as far as what I had, that was actually something that I wasn't planning on remembering to talk about. But the big news today is the Senate was able to agree on something, everybody.
Oh, I really thought your big news was going to be more shower related.
Oh, I guess I could tell that story too at the end. No. So guys, you all have heard by now because it's Friday and this happened on Tuesday, but like we had a unanimous vote in the Senate today and that was to keep daylight savings time permanent.
What? Yeah. Yeah. I literally, Daniel told me this in passing and I was like, what?
I understand that obviously it benefits the people the further north you go. And, you know, John Lovitz has been.
I was going to say, he's going to be so excited.
John Lovitz is going to be so excited. I know he's been advocating for let the states choose because standard time works better for some states and uh-huh. savings works better for other states depending on where you are on longitude and latitude. But I am so fucking excited to not have the sun rise at 6 a.m. in December and have my children up super early after sleeping until like 7:30 because it was dark in October. So, like, holler for that. I'm so psyched that I'm never going to have to drive home again in the pitch black at 4:30 in the afternoon.
It sucks real bad. It's real depressing.
It is.
Also, I think becoming a parent makes you really, like, loathe daylight savings in a way that you didn't know was possible.
Oh, my God.
That, like, I think pre-children, it's just, like, a mild annoyance.
Right.
But then you have kids and you're like, this is the worst thing ever. Why do we do this? This is the devil whose terrible idea is this. They definitely don't have children.
Exactly.
Well, and I will say, as somebody who doesn't have children, I've heard this from parents and I can only imagine. But I will say that also, just as a person getting older every year, like, I did not understand. When we were like teenagers, I did not understand when people complained about it. It was kind of this funny, quirky thing. And now it's like, fuck, dude. Seriously?
Daylight savings is not kind on the children or the middle-aged. No, I'm
still tired. I mean, I was tired before we sprung ahead, but now I'm, like, extra tired. Again, couldn't remember basic things we talked about two, three, 4 days ago.
Right? Because you're getting up the hour early, but your body's not falling asleep an hour early to make up for it.
No.
Which,
it's
at least
it's
when
still
we...
terrible.
Right? When we do fall back... You know, you're going to sleep an hour later, but everyone is theoretically sleeping the hour later.
Yeah.
Which also still doesn't work with kids because, you know, their body is weirdly electronically tuned to the fucking clock. They're like, 6 o'clock? What, it was 6 o'clock yesterday? It's 6 o'clock today. Feed me. So
they just can't hang. They just can't hang.
They just can't. Which leads me to the story that Shani was just alluding to is the Jay had band practice tonight and... it was just me and the boys. Usually it doesn't happen on Tuesdays, but, you know, I had to for scheduling purposes. And I was a good mommy tonight. I gave them, I severely disapprove of this, but I gave them candy bars in the car when I picked them up to put them in a good mood. Jay had dinner all set and ready to go because it was Taco Tuesday. So they were yummy and fed with their favorite tacos / quesadillas / chips. We got home. I even let them, because they couldn't play downstairs in the playroom because of the band music, I let them watch Bob's Burgers, because I'm such a nice mom. And then the episode ended at 6:50, and we usually take showers at 7 o'clock. And I said, well, this episode won't end until 7:15. If everybody agrees to be very nice to me and get in the shower right away, you can stay up 15 minutes later. And they said, yes, Mommy, that's fine. Well, at 7:15... One Glatfelter boy was super okay with, understood the stakes, and was like, yes, I'll get in the shower. another Glatfelter boy was not so great with it. So, you know, the older one gets in the shower. We have a double shower head. And I'm like, usually they shower at separate times. But, you know, tonight, that was also part of the agreement. I was like, well, if you're not showering at 7, you both have to get in the shower at the same time as, like, the second one would be in the shower. Alex comes in the bathroom, meow, walks away. And I was like, Alexander Glatfelter, you have to come back here and get in the shower. Nothing. I was like, I'm going to give you 5 minutes to get back in here because I'm so nice. So anyway, 5 minutes goes by. Zachary's washed his body, pretends to wash his hair, doesn't though. So I'm like, Zach, he's like, I'm all done. And I was like, I saw that. You didn't wash your hair. He's like, yes, I did. I was like, I smell soap, but I don't smell shampoo, and they have distinctly different smells.
Come here, let me smell your scalp, child.
Oh, I didn't even need to smell it. I just didn't smell this. They're definitely different smells. I didn't smell the second one open. So one smells like cucumber, the other smells like mint. You can tell. They're different. So anyway, you know, I'm like, Alex, get in here. So he comes in. He's like, I don't want to. You can tell he's like, his eyes half closed. He's like, you know, fucking sleepwalking, standing up. And I'm like, and you know, and he's, and I was like, you're getting in the shower right now. So I take his clothes. I take his clothes off, and he's, you know, protesting and like freaking out. So he gets in the shower and then points his penis at his brother and pees on him. And the poor Zachary, who is followed the rules.
Finishing his shower, was thought he was done.
Yeah, he has followed the rules. He has cleaned his body with soap. He is washing his hair. He's like, Alex, now I've got pee on me! Boys are so gross. So anyway, it was a thing that happened. Poor Zachary had to re-soap. I felt so terrible. I was like, oh. He was like, do I have to? And I was like, yeah.
You're gonna want to, buddy.
Like,
you're,
it's sterile, but still, you don't want that. Yeah, it's never a dull moment.
Oh, man.
So that was my life.
Yeah.
But, you know, daylight savings.
Being the oldest, sometimes you just got
sometimes you just gotta get peed on.
Yeah. You do everything right, and still.
I know. And he wasn't even antagonizing him. He was just, Alex was just so pissed that he just went in there and was like, pee. Oh, good times. Oh. Anyway, so we talked about this a little bit early, but I figured this would save us some time next week. So in terms of this Turning Red movie, when we all watch this movie over the next week, this next thing was inspired by a thing that is going around over the internet, and it's like the phrase, and it was something like, of course, no, I can't find it. Ariel was so horny that, you know, that she basically disobeyed her father and gave up her like everything just to go be with the dude. And it's like, but you think the period is bad. So here is a compilation of 10 different times that Disney was apparently way worse with the mature themes than a girl getting her period. So here we go. Take this into your watch party over the next, I don't know, tonight / few days. The criticism around Turning Red being too mature is so sad. Besides the fact, a lot of it is clearly people being uncomfortable with different cultures and disguising those hideous thoughts with concern, quote, for the children, unquote. Why on earth should anyone feel shame around periods or attraction? And that is from at Kimmy the Pooh on Instagram. Not Instagram, on Twitter. All right, here we go. The Little Mermaid. Ariel wants to bang Prince Eric so hard that she gives up her family, her friends, and her friggin' voice. She then marries him at the end of the movie at the age of 16. Ariel's horniness makes May, who is the character from Turning Red, her drawing look pretty tame by comparison. Yeah, I don't know if anybody remembers, but Ariel comes out of the, you guys, you've seen the movie, she comes out of the ocean pretty naked.
pretty naked, and her husband has a giant boner at their wedding.
No, it's not her husband.
It's him. It's the priest.
Oh, sorry. Misremembering.
Right? You're like, how can I take this memory and make it worse?
A little revisionist history right? there.
Slash more
truth. Right, right. Yeah, no, it's not the man who's going to soon sleep with her. It's the fucking priest.
Right, it's not the questionably 28-year-old that's going to sleep with the 16-year-old. Right. Even though she can't talk, just because she's hot. Like, yeah, she's hot. All right, Beauty and the Beast. Belle falls in love with her debatably abusive captor, who only really becomes a good person after she changes him. Yeah, sure, he gives her a library, but there are so many red flags here.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Stockholm Syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. I'm not going to lie, my library outside is inspired by Belle's library, but I'm not Stockholm-y. Nice. Just saying.
You can love someone's architecture.
Yes.
Can love their design style, but not like their ethics.
Yes, but not their choices. Design choices, not moral choices.
Exactly.
Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. Problematic depictions of dwarfism aside, the prince swoops in at the end and kisses an unconscious and even presumably dead Snow White. That's creepy at best and raises all kinds of consent issues. It's also mm-hmm. worth mentioning that Snow White is supposed to be 14 years old in the movie.
Huh?
Yeah. Well, to be fair, these are all based on, like...
medieval times?
Yeah, like fairy tales where, like, the life expectancy was, you know, like 45.
Still.
But yes. Point taken.
Sleeping Beauty. See above. Seriously, stop kissing comatose princesses.
Yep.
Yeah.
Aw, oh, my favorite, Aladdin. Princess Jasmine, who is 15 in the movie, marries a man who straight up lied to her in order to win her. Also, remember that moment when she seduces Jafar in order to distract him? Again, 15. That's right, remember that. I mean, I'm watching the gif of this scene, but like, she's like, Jafar. Just yep. saying.
Yeah.
Yeah. Again, why is this more appropriate than a chick getting her period?
Mm-hmm.
I never realized how incredibly handsome you are. Dumbo. Ooh, what's wrong about Dumbo other than the fact that it's really sad?
I don't like it.
And the minstrel show.
Yeah.
Oh, well, speak of that. A baby elephant gets drunk. I'm just saying it's kind of weird.
Yeah, that too.
That's right.
But also, like, unintentionally. Isn't he, like, roofied?
Yes,
I mean, it's been a while since I've seen Dumbo. It's
been a while.
Yeah.
Oh, poor Dumbo. Lilo and Stitch. Okay, so Lilo and Nanny's parents die in a car crash, and then as Nanny attempts to raise Lilo herself, Lilo is taken away by child CPS agents.
Jeez, really? That's what this movie is about? Holy hell.
I've never seen it.
I've never seen it either, but I know it's like a fan favorite. I don't know why I've never seen it.
We were just like a little too old.
Yeah.
I think so too. It was like right on the cusp where the people that are like 5 years younger than us have seen it, but not us.
Yeah.
But yeah, so Lilo being taken away by CPS agents is more mature than showing a box of pads. I would agree.
Yeah.
Toy Story 3. The toys literally accept their mortality. They just look at each other and silently hold hands as they inch closer to an imminent and violently painful death. That's when they're all in Holy the incinerator shit. At the end. Oh, it makes me cry even thinking about it. It is... I don't know if you guys have seen that, but...
No, man, those movies got dark after the first
one. Oh, beautiful. Oh, no. All four movies are just beautiful, especially the third one. I have to say, like, they did a wonderful job with the third movie. This was a joke. It came out the year before Jay and I got married, and in the toast to us at our wedding rehearsal dinner, Jack has a Toy Story 3 joke in it because it was like a big Jay and Jack joke. But if you guys haven't seen Toy Story 3, A, you'll see Pink Bear, who is the bad guy in the movie, but Alex's favorite teddy bear. He has two now. Three if you count the Toy Story alien dressed up as a pink bear. Well, you know, he tried to shoplift the pink bear when he was about a year old, and now he's got three. The end. The love story was born. I seriously recommend watching Toy Story 3. It's a beautiful movie. You'll cry. It's not dark. That part is dark, but the whole thing is just beautiful from you know. It's a great movie. But I agree. That part is dark.
Hmm. Which is the one with the Sarah McLachlan song? Is that two?
That's two.
Okay, that's what I thought. I've seen the first two, then. I have not seen the second two. Hmm.
Definitely watch three. If you have to choose between three and four, four is good too, but three is just beautiful. It's beautiful. It's like you want to talk about coming of age. It's Toy Story coming of age for people our generation. Like mm-hmm. Andy is, he's our age, essentially. Well, not anymore. Like Andy in the movie is going to college. So, or he's in college. He's like, you know, a young adult at that point. And it's mm-hmm. about like him growing up and what the toys, how his toys are affected by him being a grown up, where they're no longer toys played with by a kid anymore. And it's just a beautiful story, a coming of age story for, you know, I think it's for kids and for toys. If you're into such a thing. All right, moving on. The Lion King. Scar straight up murders his own brother and then blames Simba for it, which feels a little more mature than 13-year-old fanfic drawings. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. I would agree.
That's true. That scene is fucking traumatizing. If you asked 10 people... For every 10 people in our generation, if you ask them if they were fucked up by that scene, I bet you there would be more people admitting they were fucked up by the scene of Simba being like, "Dad, Dad," and like crawling under him and having his dead dad's body hug him. Oh, it's just so sad. Than kids in the generation that are watching the girl with the pads.
So sad. I mean, to the point that, you know, the more like recent versions of them that they did, like what is it called?
Live action. The live action?
Yeah.
Yeah. I watched the live action Aladdin and Lion King on the flight back from France.
Ooh.
Because I hadn't seen either of them before. And with Aladdin, it's interesting, the little like sort of like, you know, updates that they did to modify it to make it less sort of terrible.
Yeah.
In terms of like the sexism and stuff. Mm-hmm. But for The Lion King, I actually hesitated I was like, can I handle watching? Because, like, obviously,
yeah,
I knew it was going to happen. Can I handle watching that on a plane? So I feel like emotions are revved up on planes. If it's going to be something sad, I'm going to cry. And it's in a plane and then it's awkward.
Yeah. Mm.
But I pushed through. But to your point, it's pretty rough.
That is incredibly traumatizing. Like,
and then just to think of him, like, by himself. Like,
yeah.
Running away. Oh, it's and then, so yeah. Being away from his family.
I don't know. I still thought the quicksand was more traumatizing.
Well, quicksand.
Quicksand was still more traumatizing. Still more traumatizing. I feel like Lion King I could get through.
I mean, you know, it comes around. Like, yeah.
Yeah. Well, you have about also, his dad. Yeah.
He doesn't come back. But, you know, like the quicksand, like, then you're thinking about, like, that experience of what that would be like. And then,
Yeah.
Rough.
Okay, well, to finish with this, Hunchback of Notre Dame, the movie deals with lust, murder, and genocide. I mean, Frollo murders a woman and then attempts to drown her baby in, like, the first 10 minutes. He tries to burn Esmeralda at the stake because she doesn't want to have sex with him. Dude is scary.
Yeah. Damn. That one was pretty dark.
Yeah.
Never saw it.
I saw it once. Maybe I've seen it once or twice, and yeah, it is dark.
I feel like that's the same thing. It was sort of we were aging out of Disney movies when that one came out.
Agreed. So I remember it, but I also didn't watch it multiple times like I did with the other ones.
Same.
So yeah. Yeah. I would say good times, but not. Anyway,
but whatever the opposite of that is,
whatever the okay times, can't wait to talk about Turning Red next week. On that note, let's take a quick break and then we'll come back and we will do some feedback. Mainly, all right, we are back and we are ready for some feedback. Matt says, I had to pause my so-called life because I had a week of free Showtime and wanted to watch check out Yellow Jackets. Oh, I want to watch that too, but I don't have Showtime, which is odd because I have like everything. I don't know how much I can say without getting to spoiler territory, but it's a fun watch. Like that beach read thriller you can't put down.
Mm.
Ooh, interesting.
Like that reference. It's like I totally like can picture what this is now.
Mm. Yeah, that's actually the same vibes that I got from, White Lotus. White Lotus.
Ah, okay, yes, cool. I finally watched that recently. It was really good.
It was really good, right?
Yeah. I really liked it.
Yeah, I did too. I loved it. Even though it also got progressively more crazy as it went on. But it was believable because, you know, rich people do crazy fucking shit. So.
Yeah. So I've been told.
Yeah. Rich people be crazy.
They be crazy. I feel like that's a great way to describe anything as a peach thriller you can't put down.
I have to
check it out. I know. He also said he saw Turning Red, Pixar's first film written and directed by women, and it was charming and sweet. I have to imagine Colleen probably watched it with her kids, which could be a good springboard for talking about the changes girls go through growing up. And then Dennis and Jessica also had comments about Turning Red, about the controversy, and how it's a great movie for us to discuss. And the good news is, if you go back an hour, we're going to watch and discuss it next week. And yeah, I'm excited. We mean, I don't shy away from any of that stuff with my kids. So, I mean, age appropriate, of course. Not like wee wee pee pee kind of shit, but like, you know. You know, I don't get dark. So, I think we're going to enjoy it. And I do believe that I predict a lot of it will go over their heads, and fine.
That makes good sense.
That, you know, it's all about planting the seeds or whatever, like, you know, they, and as Jessica points out, it's finally great to have a movie geared towards girls. So,
yeah,
that isn't Frozen, which is a great movie.
Let it go.
But, so I'm super excited. Friday night movie night. Woo! And then Elena says that we watched it the other night. As the mom of a 13-year-old girl, I sobbed like a baby.
Aww.
And then, last week, we didn't read this. I don't think we saw it, but David Gott revealed who won the movie that he saw.
It was me. I won.
It was.
Oh, shit. I did miss that.
So he's only seen Working Girl.
Yep.
Okay. I guess that kind of makes sense.
Yep.
It doesn't make sense to me because I don't know why you wouldn't see Goonies.
Because he was, dare I say, he was a few years older than us.
Yeah.
That's a great point.
that was my yeah. thinking.
That's sorry. Smart. Sorry,
smart job there.
Yeah.
So yeah, the mystery, let the mystery be solved. There it is. Check out the others,
I just
others,
know
though.
You so well, God. Just, I know you so well.
Anyway, that's what she said. Here we go.
I think I'm already in it.
I didn't get it then.
I don't know when I had mine.
Could be talking about periods.
Just
saying.
Eighth grade, baby. I was a late bloomer. I weighed 100 pounds till eighth grade, so that was a big factor.
I have no idea how much I weighed at any point in my life until I don't even fucking know.
Well, I just remember people telling me because that was later.
That was probably because you were 100 pounds?
Yeah, and I can't. I
just
remember.
Of a thing.
Yeah, because I ran cross country and whatnot. Oh, so
there you go, boom and boom.
And I stopped in eighth grade, and I like. Teachers and like people would tell me like, oh, well, you don't have your period yet because you run cross country. You don't have it yet because you're 90 pounds. Like, and then once I hit like 105, I got my period. And that was, you know, I always remember the words of people like, you know, you remember like, okay, tip for the grownups out there. You were kids once too. I'm sure you can remember things like this as well, where, you know, you just kind of imposed the whatever. like on other people, and they're always they're, like what you say, the people they're are going remember. To remember.
Like my sixth grade teacher who asked me in front of the entire class if I lived under a rock, and I remember it to this day. And I also kind of still do live under a rock, so she wasn't entirely wrong. But
still, that's just like a really mean-spirited thing to say to a kid.
Yes.
It just is. Words hurt. It would certainly helps well to remember that. Children are sensitive.
Yeah, and even when they don't hurt, like the things you say, people remember. So,
yeah,
you know, and it's, you know, it's not good or bad. Just keep in mind, they do. Like, I always remember, like, you know, anyway.
I'm just also impressed that they had cross country when you were in middle school. I feel like that's something I didn't do until high school.
Okay,
we didn't have,
fine.
Like, sports in middle
school. I didn't want to humble brag this, but fuck. Okay, so when I was in 7th and 8th grade, I was on the junior varsity cross country team because I was really fast.
Okay. Of your high school?
How did they let that? How were you allowed to do that if you weren't an actual high school student, though?
Because my times qualified me.
Damn.
Yes!
It's such a weird place.
Because I also was less than 100 pounds, so of course I was fucking fast. You know what? Those girls were mean assholes because they didn't, those 16, 17, 15 year olds, they did not want a fucking 12 and 13 year old girl on their team. 11, 12, however fucking old I was.
Right, because they were carrying around their post puberty bodies and you were like.
Yes. Yes. And every single time we go to the, like, we see the Olympics and we see 13 year old girls, 15 year old girls, like, ice skating, I'm like, oh, that was me running cross country. Like, people don't like that. Like, you know, it's not that people don't like that. That's a wrong way to phrase it. Like, obviously, the people that are of the age of the sports, they're obviously going to feel threatened by the people that are of the younger age of the sport. Because you're like, what the fuck are you doing here, little girl? Like, we can cross the street by ourselves now, and you still need to hold someone's hand. I got, okay, Cardiac Hill, Sunken Meadow, like, I got spiked by people because I was so young. Like, I hated it. And honestly, like, the mean-spiritedness of a lot of the girls that I either ran with on my team or against, I every time I comment or I'm friends with them on Facebook, I see their posts, even if they're nice now because, you know, kids are kids. I still always hold on to and think of how mean some of them were to me. And some of them are really fucking mean and made me cry. Anyway, this is not about me. But I was saying, like, people, like, you know, kids remember things. People remember things. I'm just saying. And sometimes, even though it's really cool to have, like, you know, a 13-year-old running with, like, 16-year-olds, and that might be awesome because you've got them that they're, like, your number, like, two or three on your team that can, like, score for you. Like, it's still, you know, it's not great for them. There's a lot of pressure. Mm-hmm. Anyway, and again, that's just, you know, that's just me coming out of it. There's a reason why I despise competition now as a grown-up, and it's directly related to my experiences with something like that growing up.
Yeah.
And there was an incident, I probably shouldn't share this, but I will, in which I was in eighth or ninth, and my sister was being looked at to also run, and she didn't end up doing it, she didn't want to, it wasn't her thing. And but she did do sprinting in the track. And the coach of the cross country team, who was a Spanish teacher in my junior high. So junior high was 8th and 9th, so I must have been in 8th grade. And he was like, hey, McAllister, your sister could run it better than you. And I burst into tears and I told my mom and I was so upset. And nowadays I look back and I'm like, oh, he was just trying to, like, you know, trash talk, pump me up. But I was not that kind of kid to be told, your sister was doing it better than you. And it fucked me up. It, like, caused a rift for several years between me and my sister because I just couldn't get over the fact that, like, a grown-up was telling me that my sister was better than me at something. And
wait, are you saying that he was pitting two women against each other?
He sure was.
Weird.
Exactly what you said.
He sure was. Weird. Anyway.
I've heard of this happening.
So anyway, there's your inside look at Colleen's psyche that I won't take out, but I'm going to be really, really tempted to. Like, now as an adult, I can see how he meant it. He didn't mean it to, like, pit two people against each other that related to each other.
Well, but
still. I don't find that useful. I had the opposite remarked to me once, and that's how it's useful. My English teacher in sophomore AP English, she told me that my twin brothers who are a year older than me, you know, when you follow somebody like that in school, it's like, here's another one. There's a lot of us. And you know, they were good at school. I was good at school too, whatever. But I remember that class was challenging and my English teacher told me, like, in front of the class, that I wrote essays better than my brothers. And so my brothers were not there to hear it. They didn't fucking care. But, like, it meant so much to me. That's the way you do it.
Yeah.
Not in the negative.
And you do it so the other ones can hear it.
Yes. Like, there was no way this was getting back to them. It's fine.
Right.
They're fine.
Yeah.
They're also two teenage boys. Like, they'll be fine.
Right. It's like, oh, I write bad papers. Oh.
But don't tell somebody something negative.
Yeah, this is, guys, this has been the most serious Master She Said we've ever done.
Oh, right. Who even said the last one?
Isn't that what we were doing? Oh.
I don't know what I got mine.
Yes. I think we were up to...
Yeah,
my fault, because I was like, oh, that could also be a periods, what she said.
Yes, okay, so it literally gets all over... Shannon, I believe the next one is yours. I am so sorry to take us all off track. I apologize.
I liked the tangent.
Okay.
Also, it literally gets all over your hands.
Ah!
The period one. Just saying.
Then, for the mouth, it can get all around here.
I think we're no longer talking about periods.
We're no longer talking about periods. Decidedly not.
They had to do it virtual.
Did you miss your chance to hump?
But if anyone wanted to join, just saying.
Just plow right through it.
But what about your pillow?
Are there more positions?
All right, fine. Real, real fast. Oh, that was good. All right. Thank you, Matt. Guys, we're so funny. We are.
Hi.
All right, so we have a couple of emails. The first email is from Jessica, and it is about Labyrinth. And Jessica actually sent this email in time for our show, but for some reason it got lost in our spam. So, sorry, Jess, but, you know, there's no greater time than the present. And she says, "Hello, ladies. I just wanted to write in and say I hope you enjoyed Labyrinth. I have loved that movie since it first came out. I even owned a Labyrinth board game that I used to play. A few thoughts. I always wanted Sarah's dress when she was dancing in the crystal ball." Mm. Well, it is a pretty dress. "Also, the trash lady still scares me. It was also the movie that introduced me to David Bowie. As a kid, I loved the story. As an adult, I know it's a little cheesy, and I'm more amazed at the artistry and puppetry. All of the characters but six, including the dog, are puppets. If you get a chance to check out the extras on YouTube on how they created the puppets and then made them move, it reminds us all what a genius Jim Henson was. Too bad he died so young. I wish I'd go to the Goblin City and hide out with the way things are happening in the world right now. Namaste, Jessica." Shandy, did we talk about this type of show? Did we do a congratulations?
Mm-mm.
Okay, so speaking of Goblin City, Shandy got her Goblin City citizenship, as we all are going to, and she's also officially a French citizen. Woo! And you got your French citizenship just in time for there to be a world war in Europe. So,
yep.
Cheers.
Cheers to that.
But now you have a plan C, and that's Goblin City.
It's always good to have a backup for the backup.
Exactly. Yep.
But no, I'll take it, especially if it comes with the dress. Agreed.
Hey.
Yeah, the dress is beautiful. I will check out the extras, actually, because I really like the movie, so I'm into checking out the extras. Thanks, Jess.
Yeah. I also love all the like behind the scenes with like anything Muppet. Like I'm just like so captivated with how they make them and how they move and the sets that you have to build to like make the space for the puppeteers. Like just I find all of it so fascinating and cool.
Agreed.
Definitely.
If this was the first half of the show, we would get real dark and talk about how terrible Jim Henson's death was, but we won't.
But we won't, because we've done enough of that.
We've done enough of that, but it is sure fucked up, so go Google it if you want to.
Oh, no.
Truth.
Yeah, it's really bad.
No. Yeah.
I'm about to find out something really sad, apparently.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty sad. It was pretty sudden. And...
My
carry on,
just...
carry on while I Google.
But happier things. On to the next email.
Woohoo! Thanks, Jess.
Thanks, Jess. We have an email from Brian, not the Brian, not our favorite DP specialist, but another Brian has written to us.
Our favorite
non-DP. We have so many Brian friends.
Yes, our favorite non-DP specialist.
Right.
Yes.
But anyway, this is feedback from our crossover episode with the Real Weird Sisters. Okay. Good evening, Alice, Amanda, Colleen, Martha, and Shandy. Kudos to the alphabetical order. First of all, happy International Women's Day. Bear in mind that I started this email on that day, but now it is Sunday. I'm such a slacker, but the sentiment remains the same. All good.
All good. We record all this good. On Tuesdays, and we don't release it till Friday, so we're also slackers.
Yeah. So you're right on time. Second, thanks so much for answering my question about rescue animals. It's fantastic that many of you have rescues. My daughter trapped and rescued a feral cat in the woods behind where she works last May. I didn't know cats could spit until this one came along. Huh. Can't say I knew a cat spit either. She was a little ball of fury. She also, which is funny because I wanted to read that as fur, not fur, fury. She was also the last one left. The others had become hawk or owl food. Sad face. Nature. My daughter named the kitten Kylo after Kylo Ren from Star Wars, figuring the kitten had a lot of dark side energy but might be redeemable. She was right. We took her in, much to the chagrin of my wife, who pretty much isn't a fan of animals and pretty much didn't speak to us for 3 weeks afterwards.
Fair.
Kylo has since won her over, and she even plays with her now. When my wife thinks no one is looking, smiley face. Anyway, apologies for the tangent, and thanks for taking care of some critters that needed a home.
You know, it's so funny that this email comes in, because Jay is dead set, like, never a pet, never again. But over the last, like, week or so, Alex and I have been like, are you sure we can't get another kitty? Are you sure?
So why never a pet, never again? Was it too difficult saying goodbye?
I mean, we're all really sad still. Like, Alex still brings it up. Like, you know, we'll just look at each other sometimes and be like, oh, we really miss Zoe sitting here. Like, it actually really does kind of, like, even talking about it, like, still hurts my heart. Like, Zoe... You know, she was just such a big part, like, from pre-family to marriage to family. Like, I don't know. It was just, you know, she lived a life with us. And then all of a sudden, it just all happened so quick. So and we still think about it. Like, I still miss that cat so much because she, like.
But is that.
So anyway.
Is that why Jay doesn't want another pet, though? Is because it would just be painful. Too. Yeah.
Yeah, he's not emotionally there yet. And also, he's like, I cleaned her litter box. So basically, from the moment I got pregnant with Zach, Jay took over litter box duty, and I never gave it back.
We tried a similar tactic. It is not going as well. You might want to give me some tips.
Oh, you straight up didn't do it. I was like, I do everything else. You can clean the cat box once a week.
That's my argument, too. And also... I've been doing it for a lot longer because Captain and I have been a unit for a lot longer.
Yeah. So
Daniel can have a turn for a couple years.
Yeah. No, that's when I was like, no. And then I was like, oh, no, I'm pregnant again. I can't clean this litter box. What are you talking about? So that's the other thing.
My sister has this amazing litter box that, like, I think it costs like $500 just to hold it for. But it like, actually works really well. And it's like a whole system. It's not like the shitty ones that are automatic. It's like a turning thing.
Okay.
And, you know, my sister is not one to, like, spend large amounts of money easily. Right. And she swears by it. So
what you're saying is I need to wait for Alex to graduate daycare next year. And then next June, he's going to graduate. And then next July, we're getting a fucking cat with a $500 system, baby.
Yep. I think that's fair. I feel like everyone can get on board with that plan. Yeah. It's a full year. And it's
another full year of grieving. Yeah. Yes.
But yeah, I don't know. We'll see. The other thing is my whole family is allergic to cats, and they weren't allergic to Zoe because she was born outside. She didn't have, like, all the allergens and whatever. Like, for some reason, she was the only cat that, if you go back, I'm like, yeah, she's the only cat that, like, nobody, like, sneezed and, like, was dying around.
Interesting.
We just think that, like, she just didn't have whatever dander. So that's also another thing is, like, oh, do I want to really, like, make everybody, like, miserable coming here. But whatever, we'll figure it out. Speaking of tangents, I apologize. Brian, continue.
That's true. We still have some emails to get through. So, and I continue. I very much enjoy your podcasts. Thanks. They provide a much-needed escape. Nice. Colleen, Shandy, and Amanda, thanks for the 80s movie review. It inspired me to rewatch The Goonies somewhere over the North Atlantic Friday evening on my journey to Uganda for a work trip. Brian, what do you do for a living, you were going to Uganda? I have follow-up questions.
Amazing humanitarian stuff.
Yeah, oh that gosh. Sounds super awesome.
I have a sliver of knowledge because, you know, we're in a Patreon group together.
Just wow, that's great. That is great. It was better than I remembered. Good stuff. Though a teenager in the 80s, I am embarrassed to say that I've never seen The NeverEnding Story, Labyrinth, or Working Girl. They may take away my 80s card.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, neither is David Gutt, so don't worry.
Yeah, there you go. 16 Candles, Better Off Dead, and Real Genius are more up my alley, I guess. Best 16 to... Candles. Oh, 16 Candles is so good. Yeah. John Hughes, Molly Ringwald.
Doesn't 16 Candles have a rape scene in it?
All of those movies are super problematic.
It's super problematic. But like the Molly Ringwald part of it is great. Yeah. I prefer Pretty in Pink, though. Slightly. I'm sure it's probably still hella problematic if I went back and like watched it again. But
yeah. I'd say Breakfast Club. I mean, I like them all, but...
Yeah.
I do love Breakfast Club. Okay. Okay. Yes.
Okay. Sorry, Brian. We're
going to do this. We're going to do these.
There's one more sentence left.
Okay. Yeah. And we're going to do those 80s movies at some point. I am positive of.
Let's do it.
One more sentence left. Hold all thoughts to the end of the sentence. My best to you all. And thanks for putting some joy into each week. Have a most excellent Sunday. Brian.
Thank you.
Thank you, Brian. And thank you for all the tangents that your email.
Yes, we're so sorry.
We went on a real journey thanks to your email. So kudos to you, my friend. Woohoo! Right back real soon.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you. That was awesome. And I hope you had a safe trip. And you've definitely really solidified the fact that we're going to have to do all those John Hughes 80s movies at some point.
Definitely. Because,
yes.
100%.
Definitely, definitely.
And when you watch Working Girl, NeverEnding Story, and blah, 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 Labyrinth, let us know what you thought. Let us know what you thought. All right, let's finish this up with an Andy update.
All right. Andy writes in, this work week in Andy's virginity. Hey, broads. Sorry, I didn't mean to lead you on about the news about who is leaving my department. I always want to be as honest as I can be, which is why there hasn't been, nor will there be, an April Fool's joke about me having sex. All right. Noted. Just you wait. See, now our guards are down. Mm. April Fool's is around the corner. Okay. Anyway, we're 2 days in.
Armando. What was it? Armando...
Oh, shit.
Colin. Armando, Sean, and Colin.
All All right. Anyway, we're 2 days in and I already know this is going to be an ordeal. His workload is pretty light. Just this past week, they cut him from one project he works unbelievably slow in. So you would think a person who does maybe 15% of the work would be able to stay busy the whole day. If you think that, you don't know my coworker, Colin, as it turns out. Today, he spent most of his afternoon doing what looked like schoolwork and not the one thing he had to do. I literally could tell him, you had one job to help me out as our to work file gets bigger. While I can see why he hasn't taken another job, he could literally get away with murder here. I don't see how being stuck in an office all day, not doing the one thing you're supposed to be doing for a year, hasn't gotten old for him. We're not being paid that much. Well, here's hoping the next person they hire is at least competent. Maybe even as we thought last week, they could be an important person to me going forward. Not necessarily a potential love interest. It could also be a guy who knows someone, as Shandy said, or maybe that person could at least back me up when it comes to Colin. True story. Anyway, it might be a while before they find a replacement, so God help me. Well, at least I have a better understanding of female biology than some of the people Colleen's been reading about. Hashtag I'm with hers, Andy. So you should watch Turning Red with us, and then you will continue to acquire, you know, all the knowledge about different kinds of people. More so than we can say about a lot of our counterparts on the more conservative side of the spectrum.
Do we have counterparts on that side?
Counterparts.
Do we, though?
Hmm. I mean, they're people.
Like, we're people on the left, and they're people on the right, so we're counterparts.
All right.
Faceless, okay. Nameless.
In the strictest, like, bare bones definition. And yes, we are all
other humans that exist in this planet.
All right. Well, I don't know. I feel like Turning Red has been such a big part of this episode that I hope we all get the chance to watch it over the next week. I'm looking forward to it. And I'm honestly, like, you know, parents or future parents of boys out there, don't be afraid either. I honestly, I'm going into it and I genuinely don't think there's anything that I can't gently explain to my children at any level. So, you know, there's that. So I'm looking forward to it and I can't wait to talk about it. So if you have feedback about it because you've watched it or you're about to watch it, let us know, thebroadcasters3@gmail.com or 331-276-2373. We always love feedback. Thank you, you know, to everybody that wrote in. Brian, the non-DP specialist, we'd love to hear more from you and hope you have a safe trip. Jessica, if you have feedback, just send it to my personal email from here on out.
So weird.
So everybody get your Turning Red on and then get your My So-Called Life on. And enjoy it. You have no excuse now that we have daylight savings time potentially forever. Yay!
Would that go into effect this year?
I don't know, because only the Senate voted on it. But the Senate passed it unanimously. And I feel like that never happens.
Yeah. No. I feel like this is the one thing that they could all agree on. We got to do it, guys.
Right. And I understand that, yes, it's going to be darker later for some people. And that does kind of suck. Especially if you would like to, like, go running or exercise in the morning. But, like, I don't know. I'm going to be selfish for a second. For those of us with kids, it's going to be super amazing for them to not wake up at 5:30 in fucking December because the sun's coming up because we just turned the clocks back 2 weeks ago. So,
or they're also just miserable because all of a sudden time changed on them and but they don't understand it.
But they're also miserable right now because time changed again. So pick a time zone.
Stop playing God with time.
Yep.
Just leave it.
And I get it. Again, I get it. I get why we have to. But, like, you know, there's got to be a better way to do this.
Nope.
I'm tired. Amanda's tired. The rest of us are tired.
I'm so tired.
So, yeah, let's go to sleep. All right. It's 11. We're early. We're good. We're doing great. On that note, anybody else have anything? Any fun stories? Anything you want to wrap up with? Cool. On that note, everybody, thanks for playing, as always. We look forward to hearing from you, thebroadcasters3@gmail.com or 331-276-2373. Thank you to the patrons, especially the ones that could risk a certain level, and that would be Eckhart Rickner, Jack from Tokyo, Maggie the Magnificent, Joanne with the Plan, and Ed the Creepy Mailman. Thank you guys so much. We appreciate it. Yeah, we'll be back next week. We'll be off the following week, and then we'll be back to talk about my so-called life. So on that note, my so-called name is Colleen.
My so-called name is Amanda.
And my so-called name is Shandy.
Peace out, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.